Hello, it's good to be here. It's good to see you guys. Live streamers, I'm sorry I abandoned you this morning. They're my people, the live streamers, because I'm usually home every other weekend chatting with them. So, but it's good to be here in front of you guys, and it's good to share a message this morning. This week is week 3 of our The Power of God series. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Dale shared a message about the omniscience of God. He shared about our all-knowing God. We looked at the passage of Psalm 139, 1-6. Last week, Pastor Les looked at verses 7-12, and he shared with us what he called the substantial presence of God. And this week, I am tasked with verses 13-18, which primarily focuses on the power of God, our omnipotent God. Now, you already heard the message from Jim this morning with the scripture reading. You already heard the passage. And I want to read it again, because it doesn't hurt to read scripture over and over. And I also want to remind you of what we read, so what I'm going to do is put individual verses on the screen throughout my message, so you'll have a point of reference when I refer back to them, when I explain them in more detail. So we're going to read again Psalm 139, verses 13-18. Psalm 139, verses 13-18. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Now, the first thing I want to point out is if you're reading a different translation of the Bible, this, you'll see different words used in this passage. You'll see a lot of different words used in various translations. And the reason is because the original Hebrew words were unique. And the Hebrew language was very limited compared to our English language that we have today. So a lot of times the translators have to find English words that match the Hebrew words, like the translators of this version that I read, NIV. What they're trying to do is make this version as easy to understand as possible for the reader. Now, as I go through the passage, verse by verse, I'll point out some words and phrases, and I'll explain them in a little more detail, and I'll give you some examples of what I'm talking about. So the big question that we need to ask this morning, the big point, is what is David specifically acknowledging about God through this personal prayer? It's a prayer of praise. We can tell that. We can tell by the tone that David is praising God. And he's praising him for two things. He's praising him for the process of childbirth, and he's praising him for the design of the human body. David is praising God for human creation. If we go back to Genesis chapter 3, when God created man, after he did so, he said that his creation was very good. And in this prayer, David is praising God for the wonderful job he has done. He says it right there in verse 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And one verse earlier, he says, for you created my inmost being. God, not only did you create my human body, but you also created my inmost being. Now, there's the first phrase that I want to point out. In some translations, you might see the word reins, R-E-I-N-S, or some other words. Well, the Hebrew word that was originally written here is actually translated as kidneys, the organ that we know that handles our water balance and our waste removal. Well, the NIV version, if the translators put in for you created my kidneys, I don't know how much impact that would actually have. But in Hebrew culture, they actually referred to this word kidneys as the place where we keep our deepest desires. because it's deep inside our bodies. It's where we keep our true affections, where we keep our lusts, our deepest thoughts, and our secrets. God created a place for those things. Now, the word created here also has a secondary meaning. It also means possessed or owned. God not only created our inmost being, he also possesses our deepest desires and thoughts. That's a positive thing. Think about an inventor. An inventor invents something. That inventor is responsible for designing every single part and aspect of his invention. He knows his invention inside and out. And then he seeks to get patents for that invention so that he has complete ownership of that invention. God, our inventor, our creator, he has full ownership of his creation. He knows everything about us, inside and out, at all times. God is all-knowing, he's always present, and he has the power to access all of us. Now, as Pastor Les said last week, nothing is hidden from God. See, we can hide things from other people. We can keep things in that inmost being that nobody else knows, but God knows, because God has that power over his creation. But he doesn't use his power like we tend to see in society. God doesn't use his power to control us or to bully us or degrade us or oppress us. No, he uses his power to benefit us. He's always looking to benefit us. And when did God create our inmost being? In the womb. Before our bodies were fully formed, before our frames were completed, before another human being even knew we existed, we were knit together. We were woven together in the womb. The phrases secret place and depths of the earth in verse 15 are metaphors. David is using those words or phrases to refer to the womb. And he's using these metaphors to describe the process of childbirth. It's a secret. It's like the depths of the earth. We can't see the depths of the earth. We can't see a child being formed. Now, women have the ability to find out if they're pregnant, and they can feel things happening to them as they're going through pregnancy, but they cannot see the process occurring. Remember, David is writing this prayer thousands of years ago. We did not have ultrasound then. We have it now, so we can see some of the process, but we still can't see everything that goes into the formation of a human being. However, God has created a perfect process for that to happen. He can see everything about that process because he designed the process. When David praises God for his frame and for being knit or woven together, he's referring to that process. And what does a weaver or a knitter need to complete their task? Yarn? Some sort of thread? What are the threads that God could use to knit us together? Muscle fibers, ligaments, tendons, arteries, nerves, DNA? These are the threads that God designed to create our human bodies. Now, as Jim mentioned, this prayer is a personal prayer between God and David. But David is also referring to the creative process of God as a whole. Now, unfortunately, sin has complicated things. Sin has caused complications for the woman and for the child. Bad things happen, such as miscarriages and malformations and things like that. That is the result of sin. But it doesn't mean that God did not design a perfect process for childbirth. Think about it. You have this microscopic ovary that's fertilized. Literally microscopic. You cannot see it with the human eye. You need a microscope. Through 9 months, it forms into an embryo, and then a fetus, and then a human baby. Think about that process. That process should blow your mind. I mean, you're going from a microscopic organism to an average 8-pound baby on the other end in 9 months. A human being is being formed inside of a uterus of a woman. the secret place, the depths of the earth, in the womb, the place that only God has access to. Listen, God is the only one who knows us from the day of conception. God is the only one who knows us from the day of conception. This also should blow your mind. This is an omnipotent God. Verse 16, David says it, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." This is what an all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful God is able to accomplish. And this leads right into verses 17 and 18. "How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Just like in the earlier verses of Psalm 139, verses 1 to 6, David again is praising God for his knowledge. But this time he's contrasting what he said earlier by what he's saying here. In verses 1 to 6, David is speaking about God knowing his thoughts, God knowing his ways, God knowing his sleep patterns. Now David is praising God for God's thoughts, for God's ways. He's acknowledging how valuable and precious the thoughts of God are to him. They are so precious and valuable, and they are so great in number that if we began to count them, we would fall asleep from exhaustion. It would wear us out if we tried to count the thoughts of God. We would go to sleep thinking about God, and when we awake, we would be thinking about God again. That's how vast the sum of his thoughts are. And at this whole time, he's thinking about us. We're only thinking about him while we're awake. He's thinking about us at all times. The fact that God is constantly thinking about each one of us at all times is beyond our comprehension and understanding. And David is praising him for that. He's saying, "I am so thankful for your thoughts, God. I am thankful for your ways. I am thankful for your ability to know all things. I'm thankful for your substantial presence. I'm thankful for your power. I'm thankful for your influence over me. You know me better than I know myself, and I am so thankful for that." Now, let me say this. This is really what I want to get to. I wanted to explain the passage and look at it in more detail, but here's what I really wanted to say. We are limited if we only run on our own power. But there are no limits if we operate and work from God's power. We are powered by God. David lived his life knowing this. You see, this prayer is not simply written to be an acknowledgement of God's knowledge, presence, and power. These are truths that David applied to his life. For example, there is no way that David would have stood up to Goliath if he did not believe that God was all-knowing, all-present, and always power and all-powerful. There's no way he would have stood up against that man. There's no way that he would have faced his sins that he committed later in life if he did not know that God was all-knowing and all-present and all-powerful. You know, if you've read anything about David, that he broke a few of the Ten Commandments in his life, just like us. But because God knew him, created him, and could see his inmost being, David repented. It took a little prompting. It took a prophet or two. But David ultimately did repent, and he took action in his life based on the truths of God. He was powered by God. It can help our faith. It can help us grow in our faith to read Scripture, to acknowledge God for his character and ways. It can help us in our faith to pray prayers like David did to God. But if we do not apply these truths to our lives, it doesn't mean as much. We need to take what we learn and apply it to our lives. Again, we are limited if we only run on our own power. But there are no limits if we operate and work from God's power. How do we do that? How do we operate from God's power? Well, I'm going to jump us over to the New Testament now, because the Apostle Paul has some words about this. He has some advice and encouragement. We're going to jump into Ephesians 3 in a second. But first, you need to know that if you are a follower of Jesus, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God and Christ both live inside of you. Not just parts of God's Spirit, not just pieces of Christ, but all of God is inside of us at all times. And that means that the power of God also lives inside of us. We are powered by God. That should motivate us. That should give us the courage to serve Him every chance that we get. Listen to what Paul says to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Paul says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Look at verse 16 here. Do you think Paul is echoing David's prayer in Psalm 139? "I pray that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Where have we heard that before? Psalm 139, verse 13. Our inmost being. God created that place, our inner being, and his Spirit and power reside there in each of us. His Spirit and power, according to Paul, help us maintain our faith in Jesus. It helps us understand the love of Jesus, and it fills us with all the fullness of God. Since the one who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine gives us not just some, but all of his power, we can accomplish amazing things for God. We can bring glory to Jesus and the church through God's power. Now, I want to clarify something, just to make sure we're on the same page. We are not God. God does not create many gods. We are confined by our sin. We are confined by our human limitations, but we can work for God by utilizing the power that he gives us. When we recognize that God is powering us, that we are powered by God, we can do amazing things. We can stand up against any Goliath that comes our way. We can face our sins and repent. We can make a meaningful impact on others, and we can leave a legacy just like David. I mean, we are still talking about David thousands of years later because he knew he was powered by God, and he was able to accomplish things for God because of that fact. Now, in order to live a life for God, the best thing that we can do for ourselves is to make sure that we understand as much as we can about the power of God. We need to read our Bibles. We need to participate in Bible studies. We need to educate ourselves on the power of God. Because this is the things that David was praising for. These were the things that David was praising God for in his prayer. Now, there was a group of people known as the Sadducees. during the time of Jesus. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the body after death, and they confronted Jesus about this, and Jesus addressed them because they were rooted in a lack of understanding. Jesus said to them in Matthew 22, verse 29, "You are in error. You are in error about your beliefs because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. Because if you knew the power of God, you would know that God does have the power to raise people from the dead. God raised Jesus from the dead." Sadducees, you need to go back and read Psalm 139 again. You need to go back and read your Old Testament. You need to study God's words and understand the power that God possesses, because when you understand the nature and character of God, you will change your life accordingly. You will change your beliefs. And if you don't, that's on you. But you can't say that I didn't warn you. Jesus is telling them, you do not know the scriptures or power of God if you say these things. Same goes for us. We need to understand the power of God. God is all-knowing, always present, and all-powerful. He created us. He owns us. His power resides inside of us. He knows our inner being. He knit us in the womb. He designed our human bodies. His thoughts are infinite. He knew us before we knew ourselves. In addition, as Christians, Christ, God's Spirit, and God's power live in us. I keep saying it, but I want to make sure you understand. We are powered by God. We need to live our lives accordingly, because the possibilities are endless and limitless when we recognize this fact that we are powered by God. I want to close my message this morning by reading you one last Bible passage. It's from Paul again. I think he's pretty smart when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to spiritual things, and he shares those things with us, thankfully. But we're going to go to Colossians this time, chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 6 to 12 and then 18 and 19. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. Paul says this, "Therefore, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and firm in your faith just as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. Be careful not to allow anyone to captivate you through an empty, deceitful philosophy that is according to human traditions and the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and you have been filled in him who is the head over every ruler and authority. In him you are also circumcised, not, however, with a circumcision performed by human hands, but by the removal of the fleshly body, that is, through the circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, you also have been raised with him through your faith in the power of God that raised him from the dead." Paul goes on to say in verses 18 and 19, "Let no one who delights in false humility and the worship of angels pass judgment on you." That person goes on at great lengths about what he has supposedly seen, but he is puffed up with empty notions by his fleshly mind. He is not held fast to the head, from whom the whole body, supported and knit together through its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. God is all-knowing. He's always present, and he is all-powerful. His power raised Jesus from the dead. He has the power to raise us from the dead as well. He knitted us together in our womb, in our mother's wombs. He formed our bodies. We are woven together with threads that God designed. And when we accept Jesus into our lives, each of us becomes a ligament or a thread in the body known as the church. Each of us lives by the power of God, and we all form the body of Christ, the body of the church that shares Christ's message with the world. If we all understand that we are powered by God, the power of the church is endless. The power of the church will be limitless. We can make a major impact on this world. And God, through us, can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Amen. You are powered by God. Remember that. Live that. Believe that. Because it's true. You are powered by God. Pray with me. God, I just want to thank you so much for this time. Thank you for people like David and Paul. Thank you for people in this room that are doing great things for you because they understand that they're powered by you. Thank you for those who serve their communities, their friends, their families, their church. We need people to serve your kingdom, God. And it's only because you power us that we're able to do those things. You know everything about us. You're present in our lives at all times. Please help us understand that and realize that and react to that so that we can be great ambassadors for your work and your word and your message. Thank you for being who you are, for your character. Thank you for creating us in such a perfect way. Yes, God, I know we go through hard times. We have complication. There's sickness. There's disease. There's viruses. There's things that affect our daily lives. But that doesn't change the fact that you're with us, that you know us, that your power lives inside of us. Be near to our hearts, God. Be near to our inner being. Help us learn about you and grow. We need you. Thank you again for powering us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.